Alrighty. You guys ready to kick tonight off? All right, everybody put your hands together for our pastor, Pastor Drew.
Yeah, what's up, guys? How we doing? Awesome. Hey, we got a killer night coming up, right? We got my man Kirk over here, DJ Kirk, going to be dropping some serious music. But what we got, a couple different things. I don't know. You guys look around. Doesn't look a little bit different in here? We got a new series that we're starting, right? What's the series called? DTR, Define the Relationship. That's what it's all about. So we're going to be talking about that. But real quick, I got a question for you guys. I got a question real quick. I just got a couple minutes. I want to tell you guys a story. Has anybody here ever, and you got to be honest with me, anybody here ever got a job that you totally were not qualified for, but you just knew somebody?
Say what?
Yeah, exactly. That's, I've been there. I was there just a little while ago. And so before I worked here, I actually got a job at a tree care place. Everybody say tree care. Tree care. Who even knows what the heck that is? Like, it's, yeah, so people got a tree problem. So I go over and I'm like, yeah, I can do this. I came dressed up looking good for my interview. I show up and the guy walking out has got cutoffs and like holes in his jeans and he hasn't thought about doing his hair in about 4 months. And I'm like, one of us is seriously like dressed the wrong way. And I walk in and I realize he was dressed the right way. I was not, because this lady who's interviewing me, she goes, like one of those like looking me up and like, wow, city boy coming in here has no clue. Anybody know when you're out of your element, right? Out of your element. And so immediately you feel uncomfortable, right? Come on, right here. You feel uncomfortable. And it's like, this is weird. This is awkward. And so she starts asking me these questions. And you know, it's like a formal interview where, so she has to interview me, but she already knows that her boss said that she has to hire me. And so it's awkward. And so she's like, all right, have you ever worked with trees before? No, really? No, no. I climb them. That doesn't count. Okay, then no, no. And she's like, all right, have you ever worked around bushes and stuff like that? Well, not really. No. Okay. Have you ever, listen up here. Have you ever driven a large truck, a big truck? Like, and I'm like, no, no, not really. Have you had any experience around a chipper before? And I'm like, uh-huh, a what? I mean, maybe kind of a little, not really, no. And she looks at me and she goes, oh dear, come on. You have to at least have some experience with a chainsaw, right? And what do? I go, yeah, duh, totally. Yeah, I mean, only a loser wouldn't. And, of course, I was that loser. No clue. And so she hands me all the safety stuff on all those things. I show up the next day for work, and the guy goes, all right, I'm going to be climbing this tree. I'm going to be cutting stuff down. You cut this massive branch. You start cutting it up. Here's your chainsaw. Bye. And I'm like, whoo. Anybody, who here has handled a chainsaw? Look at me right up here. Who here has handled a chainsaw? You guys know? So I did it. I didn't have any instruction, and I'm like trying to start it like this. Don't do that. Okay? There's like, don't do that. It's a bad idea. And so they come running over like, hey, you're an idiot. Stop. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, it's just been a while. It's just been a while. And so I finally get the chainsaw started. I start cutting. I have no clue. So listen up. This is really important. At the end of the chainsaw, where the chain starts rolling over the tip, the blades are more exposed. And what happens is they like cut away, but those blades can grab onto the wood. And what happens is the chain's going like this. It grabs onto the wood and it makes the chainsaw like boom, like kick back really fast. And so it's not good. I think it's 116 miles an hour is how fast this thing's going. And so I'm going and I'm like, all right. So he tells me to cut it from the bottom of the branch. Here we go. And what do I do? I hit the tip of the chainsaw and it goes, whoom. right up my leg. And I look down. I'm freaking out. And I'm like, expecting, like, blood's everywhere. My leg is gone. It's actually over there. And, but I looked down and I didn't see, but I don't know how this happened. It ripped a giant hole in my pants and didn't touch my skin. I have no clue how it happened. But how many of y'all know I probably should have looked up some safety instructions for the chainsaw, right? I probably should have paid attention during the training and just been honest and been like, no, I have no clue how to handle that. And then she could have given me some information. But, and this is what we're going to be talking about. So listen up here. Listen up right here, right here. So this is what we're talking about right here over this series, DTR. What does that stand for, everybody? All right, everybody together. What does DTR stand for? There you go. So we're talking about love because it's Valentine's Day, right? We're talking about love, and this is this relationship. Listen up. Listen up here. Listen up. It's a lot like love is a lot like a chainsaw, where it's so powerful, right? Listen up here. Love is so powerful. And a lot of times we think that love is one of those things that you should be able to do anything and everything with. And it should have no boundaries, no rules, no restrictions around it. Yet how many of you guys know, how many of you in here who have started to see and experiment and find love and know that love can hurt, right? Anybody know that? Anybody in here? Come on. Am I preaching to anybody? This is, man, it's a lot like, listen up. It's a lot like that chainsaw when you grab... There you go. We know it. We know it. So here, real quick. I'm almost done. So, real quick. This chainsaw, in the same way, it's powerful. Anything that's powerful, you need boundaries. You need to know how to use it, how to work it. How does it apply to my life? It's so applicable. So this is what we're talking about. We're talking about three different things. We got someone coming in. He's going to be talking a little bit about his relationships, his experience. In the next 3 weeks in high school, we're going to be talking about dating. And relationships, come on. Anybody know the Bible talks about this? What? Yeah. And we're going to be talking about technology and we're going to be talking about reaching out. What does the Bible have to say about some of these big hot topics like homosexuality? What does the Bible have to say about this stuff? And so these are the things that we're going to be talking about over this, this next series. You're going to want to be here. Trust me. It's going to be one of those series where you're like, this applies. So all you, I want to hear who's excited. Come on. I want to hear who's excited because what we got coming up right here. This guy, I was just talking with him. This guy has a calling. He has an anointing to lay down some tunes. And this guy can scratch. I just want to tell you, hey, listen up. This is huge because I want to hear some excitement because this fella, his latest EP, he just dropped it 33 in the Billboard Top 100. I want to hear it. Give an M&A welcome to the one, the only DJ Kerr!
Omaha, take a seat. Just take a seat right where you're at. First of all, you guys are absolutely amazing tonight. Can one of the leaders grab my water ball back there? I'd so appreciate that so much. Okay. How about you say, I hurry up and share my testimony with you guys so we can get back to that. Sound good with everybody? Everybody give it up for Melissa. Thank you so much. Seriously, this is like one of the coolest water balls. In Minneapolis, we don't do it like this. I mean, everybody turn to your neighbor and just say, this is amazing. All right, check it out, guys. For the next 15 minutes, I would so appreciate every last one of your attention. I got three quick stories to share with you tonight. Some funny, some good, some not so bad. But check this out. Have you ever found yourself in a place you never thought you would be before? Right? Maybe you're like me back in college. You're going to Walmart at night, midnight, because that's usually when you go grocery shopping. Don't ask me why. That's just what college students, we got any college students here tonight. You can attest. We go grocery shopping at midnight, right? So maybe you're going grocery shopping and you're going in just to grab cereal, right? Go in and grab your favorite cereal and you pass by the video game section. Yeah. And it's just gonna be one game. Everybody say one game. But you play one game becomes two games became four games, eight games, 16 games, and all of a sudden, midnight turns into 2:30 a.m. You look around and you're like, how did I end up here? It's me and the janitor. Anybody ever been there before? Or just me? It will happen to you, I'm telling you, in college. Or maybe you got that one friend. Anybody like roller coasters here? See, that's not me. I could never do roller coasters, but maybe you got that one friend that convinced you to go on that one ride and told you it wouldn't be so bad. And as you're going up that climb, that hill, right? And you get right to the top, and all of a sudden you look to your neighbor like, what you made me do? You're like, how did I end up here? This is horrible, right? Anybody can reckon with that? Ever been there? I hope you didn't throw up. But check it out. How about I share with you tonight a personal story dating back to Valentine's Day 10 years ago. Would you guys like to hear that? Check it out. To set the scene, I was a freshman in college. Aww. And I had a crush. Okay? But I was on a budget. I didn't have any money. Anybody can relate?
Come on.
See, I didn't have any money. So the thing, check it out, guys. Hey, check it out, guys. I just got a couple stories. We'll get right back into it. So I go down to the campus. I'm going to grab lunch. And they're doing this thing. Student Council is helping out freshman students like myself by making a thing called Orange Crush Soda. Everybody say Orange Crush Soda. Orange Crush Soda. Now see, I had seen someone here earlier tonight and he was planning on getting his girl Valentine. I said, bro, you're missing it. Girls don't want flowers. They want the Orange Crush Soda. Because see, what I did is you would deliver it and you would say, here you go, to my crush. Everybody say, ah. So, and it was cheap. It was like a dollar. But it was only cheap in price, not quality. Gentlemen, take notes. I got the Orange Crush Soda with all the pretty decorations, and I head on up to her place, but there was only one problem. I didn't know where she lived. Oh. Everybody say, that's a problem.
That's a problem.
So I did the next best thing. I asked her best friend where she lived. She's like, you know what? I got to deliver something to her as well. We'll go together. Not a problem. We show up at 6 o'clock p.m., pull up to her place, walk up the steps, knock on the door. And I had this perfect thing recited. It went a little something like this. I said, hey. You guys can say hey.
Hey.
I just met you. This is crazy. But here's my number.
So call me, maybe.
Right? We got engaged that night. I'm just kidding. No. So I gave her the Orange Crush Soda. And I turned around and I decided to leave, right? Like I shut the door behind me. As soon as I shut the door, listen up. As soon as I shut the door, I realized something. No. Worse. I had to use the bathroom. Check it out. So I'm not going to ask my Valentine to use her bathroom. That's just embarrassing. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's just wrong. So I said, you know what? I'm going to make it back to campus. It's only a few blocks away. So we start driving back. It's no big deal. And the one thing I committed not to do was to pass gas in my car. Don't do it. I was not going to do it. I mean, her best friend was with me. She would tell her I would never have a second date. Unfortunately, that did not happen. My stomach got a little bit upset. Uh-oh. So here's the thing. Uh-oh. Like, we're already one strike down, right? And I'm like starting to panic. Have you guys ever panicked before? Panic. Like, have you ever gotten... You should all know what the word panic means. Does everybody know what panic means here? Okay. That's cool. Let's go. So I started panicking, and I'm telling you, this is not good, but I'm saying maybe, ran a stop sign or two.
Whoa.
I may be sped because I had to get back to campus because I had a problem I had to take care of. But I tell you what, she knew it. Have you ever, like, been able to tell, like, when someone's really nervous, right? Yeah, she started sensing it. Like, I had sweat dripping off my face, okay? And so check this out, guys. I had this all planned out. I was going to say, thanks for your help. See you later. Got to take care of a problem. Goodbye. Do you think that happened? No, she wanted to talk about when's the second date? How many kids we'll have? Will we get married? All these stupid questions, right? I'm like, I just need to leave, right? So what seemed like 15 hours was probably like 15 minutes. I speed on over to the parking lot. I pull into my parking space. I get out, and at this point, some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You start the waddle. Yeah. You guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I start walking like a penguin. And as I'm greeted by two of my friends, I'm also greeted by the very thing I was hoping to avoid. Uh-oh. Omaha, I pooped my pants that night on Valentine's Day.
Yeah!
And I asked myself, how did I end up here? Right? Now, hey, check it out. The next story will not be as gruesome, but I found myself in Phoenix, Arizona, tad bit warmer. I was in a big arena. There was 15,000 students. I heard the pastor say, if anyone, listen up, if anyone feels called in the ministry, I want you to get up out of your seat and come right up here to the front. I looked around to my neighbor, looked around to my other friend. Did he say my name? I mean, I can't be sure, but like, I'm sure he said my name. So lo and behold, I get up there. I get on my chair. I take a risk. I have no idea what I'm doing. I go up there. I take a kneel. My youth pastor prays with me. And I felt called into youth ministry. And from that point, I decided, you know what? Quit it. I'm going to be the next great Pastor Drew. Y'all give it up for Pastor Drew real quick. Check it out. Before I was going to do that, though, I had dreams to play college basketball. And so I was going into my junior year of high school. Listen up, guys. Junior year of high school, I had big plans. They have a big year that year. And that was the year that I got benched. Say benched. See, what happened that year was something totally unexpected. And there's one thing I want you guys to catch tonight. Where there is a wound in your life, check this out. Where there is a wound in your life, there's an opportunity for the devil to attack. Let me say that again. Where there is a wound in your life, there's an opportunity for the devil to attack. And you know what he did? It came in the form of a relationship. Now, I'm not here to tell you tonight that a relationship is right or wrong. But I am here to tell you just for a few minutes, a few of my struggles, a few of the pains that I went through, and how you can avoid what I went through. Is that cool with everybody?
Come on.
So check this out. I got a girlfriend. I became sexually involved with this girl. Hey, check it out. Check it out. This is growing up stuff here. If you want to pretend that this stuff isn't happening in middle school, you're lying to yourself. If you want to pretend that this stuff isn't happening in high school, you're lying to yourself. I came here tonight because I know there's calling and purpose in this room. So for the next 5 minutes, can you just give me that respect? Yeah. Check it out. I became sexually involved with my girl because I thought that was going to feel the pain in my life. I thought that was going to feel something. It only led to further despair. But check this out. I looked across the table. I looked across from my friends. And I seen they were all doing more. I seen they were doing more than I was. And so I said, you know what? Because I'm not doing as much as they are, I'm okay. Technically, I'm okay. Can I tell you guys something tonight? That couldn't be a bigger lie.
That's true. Come on.
Just because you're not doing as much as the other person doesn't mean you're living in obedience. So I continued the fall in this despair, this frustration, depression, if you will. I remember driving back one night. I'm like, what happened? How did I end up here? I felt called in the ministry. I was going to do great things. Now I'm doing things I never thought I would do. I said, okay, God, I'm done with this. I'm going to move on from this. I'm going to get better. Let me tell you something, guys. Broken people do broken things. And if you don't have a solution, if you don't have pastors like Pastor Drew, like the leaders around this room tonight that can pour into you, guess what? You're going to continue to do broken things. Now, check this out. I continued to do broken things. I continued to take bad relationships that further led me into despair until eventually I did the very one thing that I had hoped to save for my future wife. I gave away my virginity. Now, Some of you guys here tonight, maybe I made the same mistake. I want to let you know something. It does not affect how God sees you. He loves you. Okay? God loves you regardless of the actions you take. But let me tell you something. And this is the reason, you know, everybody gets so like nervous talking about sexual purity. I actually love it. And do you know why? Because sexual purity will set you free. And this is the thing that happens. Is you start opening like your heart up and you start getting these visions, these dreams, these revelations for what God wants to do in your life. And finally, you stop settling. Finally, you stop settling because you're like, oh my gosh, God has such greater things in store for me. I don't want to mess with that junk. Yeah. Yeah. So what happened? So I got a friend. I got a friend that made one simple invite. And tonight, when I look across this room, that's all it could take for you. It could take one friend that could change your entire life. So what do we do, though? How do we overcome this stuff that we're dealing with? What if I said tonight, guys, in closing, I got three things to give to you tonight that will give you supernatural favor to overcome this. Would anybody be down with that? Okay, check this out. Everyone say, enough is enough. You got to come to a point where you're not worried about what the next person thinks of you. For so long, I had this identity as I'm the kid that's going in the youth ministry. I could never let anyone know that I struggle with my sexuality. So I hid it. I hid it, and I hid it, and I hid it, until eventually the devil almost knocked me out. But the minute that I started to bring that into the light, I started to find freedom. I started to find, you know what? The very thing that I feared the most, rejection, was the thing that I found, acceptance. Number two, everybody say, know your team. See, I like basketball. Anybody like basketball? Unfortunately, if you're the Timberwolves, you still haven't figured this out yet, but you need to stack the deck in your favor, okay? Jimmy Butler's amazing, you're right. But the thing is, you need to find, listen up tonight, guys, you need to find friends that are wanting the same thing as you. Okay, and not friends that are just like, yeah, I want that tonight. By the weekend, I forgot about tonight. No, you got friends that actually commit, that get into your business daily. Check it out. If this isn't real, I talked with a guy this morning on the way down here to Omaha. I have people getting into my business. Why? Because my destiny is way too important for me to get lost. Come on. And that's why I come here tonight to Omaha. Okay? Number three, find a home away from home. What the heck do I mean? This church right here, this is a safe harbor. There is people in here that want to pour into your life. There's people that want to encourage you. Tell you what, guys, it happened to me. As I started serving in the church, serving has a dirty word in our culture. We think that we need to be served, right? No, it starts when we start serving others. And for me, serving beyond myself changed everything for me. In fact, I'll actually turn down gigs so I can serve in church. Funny story, I actually didn't go home this Christmas because I served at my church. Maybe made mom and dad mad, but it was kind of fun too. I'm not saying you should make mom and dad mad. I'm just saying that it was a long ways from home. I'm from Montana. Anybody know where Montana is at? But I'm telling you what. It didn't feel like I was far away from home because I had a church family. And tonight, you may not feel like you have a family. This church here is ready to back you up, okay? So, what does that look like, though? I mean, I talk about promotion. I talk about destiny. I talk about calling. Let me just finish up tonight by sharing you guys a little bit of my journey. I made a decision to get clean. And I would love to chat with you guys after what that actually looks like. Young men especially, I'd love to chat with you about this. I made a decision to get clean. I've been 28 months clean now. And the crazy thing is, the number one thing that drives me here to Omaha tonight is the one thing that God spoke to me as I was making breakfast one morning. I turned around and I felt the voice of God say, you'll never have to worry about your next gig. This was a point, guys, where I didn't have any gigs. I was a starving artist. Everybody ever heard the term starving artist? That was me. And I tell you what, as I was getting pure, as I was finding who I was in Christ, to hear God voice those words to me, that meant more than any paycheck or gig ever could. I'm telling you, it changed everything. Once I knew that inside, it changed everything for me. Along with this too, I'm telling you, God wants to give you dreams. He wants to give you passions, and he wants to bless you. And the thing that I've seen God do in my life, everything that I had done in 2015 felt like so much work. I'm telling you, God can, in an instant, snap his fingers and double everything for you. That year, everything doubled for me. Now, I'm not here tonight to say that everything will go all blissfully well for you right away. I know a lot of men that are in the struggle, okay? But I'm telling you, God will not forsake you. And eventually, it will come around for your good. Romans 8:28 talks about that. Look it up after tonight, okay? Let me pray with you guys real quick. Actually, can I have Pastor Drew or one of the leaders come up here and pray? I'm going to get my... Are you guys ready to party a little bit more? Okay? Cool. I'm gonna get set up again. I'm going to have one of the youth leaders pray, and then we'll get back into it. Thank you guys so much for listening. One last thing. I'd love to chat with you. If you have a story, if you have a situation you're going through, I'll be back by my merch table. I'd love to connect with you after the show. Thanks, guys.
Come on. Give DJ Kirk a hand. Guys, I want to thank you. Thank you for listening, paying attention. Because when someone, anytime, here at Emanate, this is what we do. We go hard when it's time to play, right? When it's time to jump around, we go all out, right? And then when it's time, when someone's opening up their heart, when someone's given of who they are, and they're being vulnerable, how many of you guys, that's hard, right? It's hard to do, especially in front of a whole crowd of people, and you don't know what everybody else is thinking in the room. So I thank you guys for being respectful, for honoring what God is doing in DJ Kirk, in what he can also be doing, what God's done in there. How many of you guys know he can do in you as well? And so I just want everybody, close your eyes. Everybody in this room, close your eyes. We're going to pray. And if this is you, if you're in this room and you're like, man, that his story was for me, and I need to do something about this, and I just need to give. And this is just between you and God, nobody else. Just between you and God. And I want you to just turn your hands face up like you're about to receive something, like he's about to give something in your hand. You just turn your hand, and everybody in this room can do it. If you are specifically if you go, this is for me, and I want to receive this, then I want to pray this over you. God, right now, I pray for everybody in this room that this testimony, this story is powerful and is made for. Lord, will you put the same call to purity? Would you take put the same, make the same boundaries, God, and the same protection, in the same desire to hold ourselves to a higher standard, where we are made for something more than to give ourselves away to a relationship, to a person. Lord, I pray protection over everybody in this room, the people who are exploring in this area, and the people who have never. But Satan's going to be attacking them to do so in the future of their lives. God, I pray the protection over them. God, I pray strength. I pray boldness. And that, Lord, you give them the boldness to say no. You give them the boldness and the strength to stay away from these things. You give them the boldness and the strength and the wisdom to know how to flee and run away from this stuff that's only here to steal, kill, and destroy. Lord, I thank you for your message. I thank you for your heart, and I thank you for what you got going on tonight. May this night not only be about excitement and a concert and the energy, may this also be all about you and how we can change our lives for you, Lord. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.